Hi, this is Ted Haggard from New Life Church in Colorado Springs. The program you're about to hear is written and produced by a friend of mine, Gordon Klingenschmidt. I've known Gordon personally for 12 years, and I've seen the fruit of his life. He's an honorable servant of the Lord. I've also endorsed his book and recommend his ministry to you. So I encourage you to listen to what he has to say and write to him and support Persuade the World Ministries. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Welcome, and thank you for joining this radio broadcast of Persuade the World Ministries. You're about to hear part 2 of 18 in our radio production of the book written and taught by Gordon James Klingenschmidt, entitled License to Sin, the number one reason America is losing its moral foundation. If you call us in the next hour, we'll mail you a free cassette tape of today's broadcast, which you can copy and give to your friends. Just call our toll-free number, 866-OBEY-GOD. That's toll-free, 1-866-OBEY-GOD. Gordon James Klingenschmidt is a graduate of the United States Air Force Academy and a seminary graduate of Regent University, holding both MBA and Master of Divinity degrees. He's also the founder and servant of Persuade the World Ministries, a 501c3 tax-exempt religious nonprofit corporation in Colorado Springs, dedicated to persuading individuals in America and throughout the world to forsake their sins and submit their hearts and minds to the loving rulership of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, with today's teaching, here is Gordon James Klingenschmidt.
Thanks, Mark. I want to title this segment of our teaching, The Rulership of God. Now, when Jesus walked the earth, he taught with one particular purpose in mind. All of his teachings, all of his miracles and actions were dedicated to bringing forth perhaps only one message to anyone who would submit to it. And what's that one message? It was the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I must preach about God's kingdom. This is why I was sent. At the beginning of his ministry, he called out the invitation, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And what about after his death and resurrection? What did Jesus tell his closest friends just before he ascended into heaven? The Bible records that Jesus appeared to them, and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. God's kingdom was everything to Jesus. So then we need to ask, what is the kingdom of God? To begin, we must define the term kingdom. There's a big difference between a kingdom and any other form of government. For example, in a democracy, the masses of people are in charge. The people discuss issues, gather in political parties, they try to persuade other people to agree with them, they elect leaders, they support or reject those leaders every few years. Whatever the people want ultimately ends up being written into law. But in a kingdom, there's only one who reigns supreme, and that's the king. This king holds all the authority that exists in that system. The king makes all the decisions. He appoints all the government officials and military leaders. He writes the laws any way he chooses. And he commands the people's respect and obedience. Whatever the king wants done is done without question. Whatever pleases the king becomes reality in the lives of other people. A kingdom, therefore, is simply a place where a king rules. So the kingdom of God, then, is that place where God rules. His will is perfectly done there, without exception. His subjects come under God's rulership, and they submit to God's wishes. They do everything that pleases him, and nothing that displeases him. Whatever God wants to happen, you can find it happening in his kingdom. But God's kingdom is not geographical. It's moral and spiritual. That's why Jesus described it saying, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. In other words, it's not a matter of geographical boundaries on a map. It's a matter of individuals submitting their hearts to the king. And God's subjects are not governed by force or by sword. They're governed by persuasion and love. Listen, we have freedom to either submit our hearts to the king's rulership and be blessed as a member of his kingdom, or to obey the rulership of some other king and deal with the natural consequences of that decision. Now, God's will isn't always done here on earth. People don't always do what God wants. This is obvious both in Scripture and in today's newspapers. God doesn't rule in the hearts of most people. Why? Because they've foolishly chosen to submit only to themselves as God, instead of wisely worshiping their Creator and receiving His blessings. But there is hope, because God has given us a means, a method, a doorway for entering into His kingdom. It's called, are you ready for this? Repentance, or the forsaking of sin, or wholehearted submission to His rulership. Don't despise the word repent, because it's biblical, and it's the method that God Himself created for us to enter His kingdom. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. In other words, here's the door to God's kingdom. Enter in. So everywhere Jesus went, He brought a sample of God's rulership. Jesus did this by His personal example, but He also did this with His words and His miracles. Do you remember how Jesus taught us to pray? He said, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here on earth in the same way that it's already happening up in heaven. Apparently up in heaven, everyone loves to submit to God's rulership. Now you listening on the radio, let me ask you a question. Would you be comfortable going to heaven if when you got there, God ruled there and you didn't? In another place in the Bible, we see Jesus casting a demon out of a boy, and He explains it like this. If I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. In other words, look, everybody, God's will is being done. God's rulership is taking over in this little boy's life. Other examples also demonstrated God's kingdom. For example, Jesus preached repentance. He healed the sick, He raised the dead, and He performed many miracles. Why? So that people would wake up and submit to God's rule. Finally, Jesus took on the awe-inspiring task of purchasing our redemption on the cross, making a way for us to be saved from our deadly sins by His atoning sacrifice of His shed blood. Now, for you listening to me on the radio, let me ask you a question. When Jesus went to the cross, what did He do for you? Did He forgive your sins so that you could continue to enjoy them without fear of punishment? Did He set you free from God's rules so that you wouldn't have to submit to God and you could still go to heaven? Or let me ask it this way. In a battle, does a king forgive enemy soldiers while they continue to wage war against him? Or does that king demand they surrender, throw down their weapons, and join his side? Have you somehow managed to sneak in the back door of God's kingdom without first submitting to God's rule, without bowing your knee before His throne? Christ will never be your Savior until He's first your Lord. And He'll never be your Lord until you repent of all your known sins and submit your heart completely to His authority. Don't leave any stone unturned. And don't deceive yourself, because God knows your heart and He's not being fooled. Would you pray this prayer with me? Go ahead and say these words along with me. Father in heaven, I confess that I haven't submitted to You and made You my king. I have never entered Your kingdom. But I now repent, and I change my heart toward complete submission and loyal service to You and Your Son, Jesus Christ. I voluntarily cease all rebellion to Your rule, and I invite You to rule my heart and soul from this day forward. In the name of my Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Now, would you just raise your hand if you prayed with me? Did you mean what you prayed? If you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, go ahead and raise your right hand up in the air to God. God sees your heart. Now, if you just prayed with me, why don't you give us a call and get a copy of today's cassette tape? Here's Mark with that information.
Thanks, Gordon. He'll be back in just a moment. But first, do you know somebody who needs to hear today's message? If you call our toll-free number in the next hour, 866-OBEY-GOD, we'll mail you a free cassette tape of today's broadcast, which you can copy and give to your friends. All our tapes are copyable and free, but please remember we need your donations to stay on the air and give away these free tapes. So please pray and obey, then send us your best possible donation after you receive your free cassette.
Hey, time out. If it's your first time contacting us, no donation is required. Just call us.
Our toll-free number is 866-OBEY-GOD. That's 1-866-OBEY-GOD. And please specify you're requesting today's program, cassette tape number L2. Do you believe America needs to hear these messages? If so, we're specifically asking you to join the Persuaders Club. and to sponsor this radio broadcast with a monthly pledge of just $15. If you join the Persuaders Club, we'll also send you an autographed copy of Gordon's book. Just visit our website at persuaders-club.com or call us in the next hour at 866-OBEY-GOD. Right now, let's return to Gordon James Klingenschmitt.
Thanks again, Mark. I want to entitle this segment, A License to Sin, which is the same as the title of the book that you're hearing me teach from, based on Jude, verse 4. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Now, in early church history, when Jude was writing to the new Christian church, there were a lot of heresies and false teachers, and there still are today. But that's why God wrote the Bible, to preserve the truth, which today we call orthodoxy. One particular first century sect of false teachers and heretics were named the Antinomians. Their name Antinomian was derived from the Greek words anti, against, and nomos, law. They were literally against law, teachers of lawlessness, who believed the following. Number one, Jesus Christ came to abolish the laws of God, setting Christians free to do as they please, without consequence. But Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Number two, Antinomians believed that since Jesus provided mercy by atoning for our sins on the cross, man can be saved without obedience to any of God's laws. But when Jesus was asked in Luke chapter 10, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He required obedience to the spirit of God's law, the law of love. He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do this and you will live or gain eternal life." Look that up in Luke chapter 10, and we're going to talk in depth about that in a future broadcast. But anyway, the Antinomians believe, and this is point number three, that Jesus brought the age of grace. And since he did that, Christians are free, not only from the laws of Moses, but from all the laws of God. But listen carefully. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, "Though I myself am not under the law of Moses, I am not free from God's law, but I'm now under Christ's law." Point number four. Since a man is justified by faith, apart from observing the law of Moses, Antinomians concluded that the law of Christ is also nullified, and we don't have to uphold any of the laws of love. But Paul refuted Antinomianism, and he said in Romans, "Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law." Point number five. Antinomians believe that since we're under grace, we can sin aggressively and embrace selfishness and still go to heaven. Do you see their heretical logic here? But we know that's a lie because Paul said in Romans, "Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace?" By no means. Number six, Antinomians believe the more we sin as Christians, the more merciful God appears and the more glory he receives. But Paul said, "Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase?" By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? So in summary, the Antinomian false teachers were those who pointed to God's mercy, the cross of Christ, and they used it as an excuse to continue in their sins. They rejoiced and celebrated Christ's victory on the cross because it not only set them free from the laws of Moses, it set them free from any need to submit to God. "I'm so thankful for what Jesus did for me on the cross," they would say. "Now I don't have to love God or neighbor, and I don't have to let God rule my heart, and I can still go to heaven." Do you see their argument? But I'll tell you this. The Antinomian message is only a thinly disguised message from Satan himself, persuading man to reject God's authority. In the early church, these lies led many people astray, into sin, and even into hell. But the writers of the New Testament, Jude, Paul, John, James, they rebuked these Antinomian false teachers as heretics, and they defeated their ideas by writing the Bible. The early church fought tooth and nail against antinomian teaching, but she prevailed. Now, unfortunately, today in America, these antinomian false teachers have quietly resurfaced, and they've gained a lot of power in our churches without being detected or rebuked or exposed as liars. Many of today's most popular sermons are laced with subtle antinomian lies. And spiritually, I'm afraid that Christian orthodoxy in America lies in great danger. Listen, everybody, if we don't protect orthodox truth in American churches, America is going to die spiritually. Many people assume that our nation's problems are caused by politicians, or by the courts, or the education system, or Hollywood. But I think it started in our pulpits. So how does the antinomian heresy sound today? Well, before I explain that, let's again consider the words written by St. Jude. For certain men, whose condemnation was written about long ago, have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality, and they deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Now ponder that for a second. Stop and pray for revelation. Father in heaven, how could somebody take your grace and change it into a license for immorality? I reach into my pocket and I pull out my wallet. My wallet has several licenses in it. Here, for example, is my driver's license. I got this license on my 17th birthday when I passed my driver's test. It has my picture and my address, and it gives me a power that I didn't have before they gave it to me. What's that? Well, obviously, I'm now allowed by law to drive a car. Before I got this license, I could have been arrested and punished for driving a car. But now that I have this license, I can drive all I want. And if any authority ever demands proof that I'm allowed to drive, I can just flash my little license card, and they can't punish me. Also in my wallet, I have a type of license that says public library on it. It was absolutely free for the asking. Didn't cost me a thing. And now that I have a library card, I have permission to do something I couldn't do before. Check out books. Before I got the license, I could have been arrested and thrown to jail for stealing if I tried to walk out with their books. But after I got the license, they let me check out all the books I want without penalty. I have one more little license in my wallet, and it may surprise you, but I hope it gets the point across. It's a little red card, and I received this card years ago on the day that I, quote, accepted Jesus as my Savior. Across the top it says, in big black letters, License to Sin. This card is very useful and has helped me ease my conscience hundreds of times. My license to sin is red because the blood of Jesus is my atonement, and he's paid for all my sins when he died on the cross, even if I don't forsake them, even if I don't repent of my sins, even if I continue to enjoy my sins. After all, God is very merciful, isn't he? And there's no expiration date on my card, so it's valid for all eternity, because Jesus paid for my past, present, and future sins, even while I continue to enjoy them. And any time I feel like sinning, I just flash my little license to sin up to heaven, and it works every time. God just turns his head, and he ignores my sin. He doesn't see me sinning. He's only looking at what Jesus did for me on the cross. It's great. No punishment, no fines, no jail term, and certainly no hellfire. Perhaps my favorite way to use this license to sin is when I'm reading my Bible, and I come across a command of Scripture that makes me uncomfortable. This license gives me the power to pick and choose whichever Scriptures I feel like submitting to, and which ones I can freely ignore, just because they're too inconvenient. After all, Christ is my righteousness, so I don't have to be righteous. I even heard a Christian song on the radio the other day telling me how God always looks at me through rose-colored glasses. Have you heard that song? I guess God's rose-colored glasses just filter out any appearance of unrepentant sin in my heart, so that God's eyes are not the slightest bit offended. And I recently heard a sermon on TV about God's mercy telling me that when God looks at me, all he sees is a little Jesus mask over my face, and he ignores my rebellion. And he forgives me anyway, even while I continue to enjoy my sins. And whenever I read that bumper sticker that says Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiven, I thank God that I don't have to be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect, or be holy in all you do, just as he who called you is holy. And I don't have to beat my body and make it my slave, or actually obey every command that God gives. Because after all, I can sit back and take it easy. There's grace for all that stuff. Now do you see it? The grace of God has been changed into a license for immorality. That's the heresy Jude is warning us about. So with sincerity now, I hope my facetious, tongue-in-cheek logic starts to convict you toward immediate repentance. Right now, God is purifying his church from all these antinomian lies. But here is the truth to replace those lies. God does not forgive those sins which we continue to enjoy. Let me say that again. God does not forgive those sins which we continue to enjoy. There's no such grace for sins you knowingly and willfully embrace. If you continue to embrace your known sins, you're in rebellion against God. If you remain a rebel until you die, you'll be treated like a rebel when God judges your soul, no matter how many licenses you carry in your wallet. There's no such thing as a good excuse to keep on sinning. No red-filtered lens can deceive God into pretending your rebellion doesn't exist. Unless you repent deeply and submit your heart to God's rule, your only future is in the eternal flames of hell. Now, yes, Jesus died for you on the cross. But if you don't forsake your known sins and embrace Christ as your Lord, not just Savior, but Lord, then what Jesus did on the cross doesn't apply to you. Hebrews 10:26 says this, "If we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice or atonement for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Let every false hope you've ever leaned on for your salvation be utterly destroyed. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." Now, as you consider that, let me draw your attention to the one true hope, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He can save you and separate you from your deadly sins. He is able to keep you from falling and present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. God's rulership is very close to you, even within your arm's reach. And God offers you a trade. Will you give up your sins and receive instead God's rule over your heart? Again, Christ wants to save you from your deadly sins without cost, but it will cost you your deadly sins. Will you let go of them? Will you allow him to separate you from your sins as far as the east is from the west? So far has he removed our transgressions from us? Even if you've been a Christian your entire life, perhaps right now is the first time you realize you need Jesus to be your Savior and sanctifier from sin. Run from any antinomian false teaching into the arms of Jesus, who can save you from your deadly sins. It says in Matthew they gave him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. He would not be loving if he left you to wallow in them. But if you refuse to be saved from your deadly sins, then you refuse the salvation which Christ offers. Open your heart to him right now and let's pray. Would you pray this prayer with me? Father in heaven, I am undone before you. I am left without any excuse or argument for my sins. I just can't hold on to them any longer. I release them now, willfully and forcefully, forsaking all known sin and asking you to fill me with your life and your holiness. I offer my heart to Christ's strong, saving hands and ask to be made clean, to be rescued and separated from my deadly sins. Renew my mind, Father, and teach me what it means to be holy and love you with all my heart. I renounce the false beliefs I've held and all association with false teachers. I commit to leaving them and even finding a church that preaches holiness and teaches the Bible. Lead me by your truth, Lord, and fill my heart with your love. Come and rule my heart for Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Did you just pray with me? Can I ask you to raise your right hand up to God if you prayed with me? Wherever you are, if you're in your car or in your house or in front of other people, it's okay. Just raise your right hand up in the air to God as a sign that you just prayed with me and gave your heart back to him. Go ahead. God sees your heart. Did you mean what you just prayed? I know you did.
Now, some of you are receiving a physical healing in your bodies right now as God's loving rulership takes over in your heart. I hope you'll email us and tell us about that. Now, I'd like to know your thoughts about today's teaching. Do you agree with me? Do you disagree? Please send me an email at persuadetheworld@yahoo.com. That's persuadetheworld@yahoo.com. I also hope you'll join the Persuaders Club and get a copy of my book. I've been very fortunate and blessed to have this book read and endorsed by people like C. Peter Wagner and Professors Tony Campolo and John Mark Ruthven and Pastors Ted Haggard and Floyd McClung and Joy Dawson and Bill Hammond. So you know it's trustworthy. Please pray for us, and please mark it in your schedule and tune in again next time to this same radio station at this regular time period. Now, I love you, and I care about you. So here's Mark with more information.
Thanks, Gordon, and thanks, everybody, for listening. Do you know somebody who needs to hear today's message? If you call our toll-free number in the next hour, 866-OBEY-GOD, we'll mail you a free cassette tape of today's broadcast, which you can copy and give to your friends. All our tapes are copyable and free, but please remember that we need your donations to stay on the air and give away these free tapes. So please pray and obey God about how much these teachings are worth to you, and return to us your best possible gift after you receive your free cassette.
Hey, time out. If it's your first time contacting us, no donation is required. Just call us.
Our toll-free number is 866-OBEY-GOD. That's 1-866-OBEY-GOD. And please specify you're requesting today's program, cassette tape number L2. Do you believe America needs to hear these messages? If so, we're specifically asking you to join the Persuaders Club and to sponsor this radio broadcast with a monthly pledge of just $15. If you join the Persuaders Club as a monthly partner, we'll send you an autographed copy of the book you've been hearing, written and taught by Gordon James Klingenschmidt, entitled License to Sin, the number one reason America is losing its moral foundation. Just visit our website at persuaders-club.com. That's persuaders-club.com. It's the monthly donations of our Persuaders Club partners who keep this program on the air. Now, if you have comments or questions about today's broadcast, you can email us at persuadetheworld@yahoo.com. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 77222, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80970. Or you can always call us toll-free at 866-OBEY-GOD. And if you remember, please tell us the call sign of the radio station you're listening to. May God bless you and thank you for supporting Persuade the World Ministries. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men.
Hi, this is Gordon James Klingenschmidt. Do you know there are 8 benefits of joining the Persuaders Club? For a monthly pledge of just $15, we'll send you a personalized certificate and add your name to our prayer list. I'll also send you an autographed copy of my book and regular cassette tapes, which you can copy and share with your friends. And you'll help rebuild America's moral foundation. And you'll also get our newsletter, The Persuader, and tax receipts so you can deduct your gift. And of course, you'll have my personal thanks. So please join the Persuaders Club today by visiting our website at persuaders-club.com. Or call us toll-free at 866-OBEY-GOD. And thanks for supporting us with your prayers and donations. You're changing people's lives for Christ. Did you also know there are 8 specific ways to get involved with Persuade the World Ministries? You can become a prayer partner or make copies of our tapes for your friends. Or become a certified persuader to lead small group Bible studies with our materials. Or you can have me speak to your church or organization. Or have your church even become a certified persuader church. For details about these things, just call us toll-free at 866-OBEY-GOD. Or visit our website at persuaders-club.com. That's persuaders-club.com. The broadcast you just heard is property of Persuade the World Ministries. But if you're listening to a digital file like an MP3 or a WAV file, we encourage you to make copies of this program and give it to your friends. Do you know somebody who needs to hear today's message? Just imagine if you emailed this file to them or gave them a disc and it prompted them to give their heart back to God. Someday you'll see them up in heaven, and they'll thank God that you had the courage to reach out to them. So please copy this program and give it to your friends. And take a moment right now to join us in prayer for everybody who listens. Thanks, and may God reward you for the work you do for His kingdom.